11 players on one side, 11 players on the other side. A big piece of grass, a couple of goals and one ball. The aim of the game is to score the most goals in those big looking holes guarded by glove trolls.
He shoots, he scores, goal.
Scoring the goals.
He shoots, he scores, goal.
Scoring the goals.
Hello, loyal listeners and even first-time listeners. Everyone is welcome to the League Podcast. My name is Lee Phelps. Pete Farris is on the line to have a look through some featured championship matches. He'll pick out a best bet in League One. He'll pick out a best bet in League Two. I will give you a both teams to score double. We will both give you a nap. We'll all go home happy until the matches take place, Pete. That's pretty much how this goes every week, isn't it?
Yeah, because we're concentrating on one of the hardest leagues in Europe to bet on. But the point remains, it's still value. We know we landed some good bets last weekend, devastated last minute by another one of them. So, yeah, it's going to be, I think it's an interesting week. I think, again, there's some huge value this week.
Yeah, let's start off with the TV game on Saturday lunchtime. All kicks off at 12:15 between Leicester and Burnley at the King Power Stadium. Leicester are third, Burnley are still top, but only a point separating these two sides, with Queen's Park Rangers the meat in their sandwich. Seven goal better goal difference for Burnley as well, so they've had the best of it this season. Leicester don't draw too many games at all. In fact, the last draw they had was on the 21st of September. The previous draw they had was on the 11th of August. In between those draws, they had a lot of wins and the odd defeat. Well, just all of a sudden, Pete, in the last five games, you've got three defeats in there. They lost to Forest, they went and beat Ipswich, they beat Millwall, and you think, oh, back on track. Now they've had successive losses to Sheffield Wednesday at Hillsborough and to Brighton away as well. So just, you know, they've just got to get back on track here a little bit. As for Burnley, you could argue that their form has gone on the wane a little bit as well. Harsh, because they've been drawing games, they've only lost a couple. Good game this one, isn't it? That Burnley away form, haven't won in three. Leicester tend to win most of the games they play at home. The exception to that was that Forest game that I mentioned. Would you have to be with Leicester on this one at 19-20? Burnley 3-1, top of the table. It's got to be tempting, hasn't it?
It has got to be tempting. It is dangerous, isn't it? I mean, the one thing we said, I picked this one, you know, one of the few things I've got right maybe, is that as soon as Burnley lost in the League Cup to West Ham, I did pick that Burnley were going to go on a tricky run. I'm saying it pretty clearly on the podcast, because quite frankly, even the slightest stumble, even if it isn't a cup game, can upset you. They've not. And at the moment, away from home, they are struggling. You know, draws at Millwall, draw at Forest, a loss against Huddersfield. And yeah, you're right, they have been drawing a lot of games and finally got back to winning ways last weekend. But last weekend's winning ways was against Barnsley, wasn't it? Managerless Barnsley. And they scraped through that game. It was a Michael Keightley, I think it was a 64, 65th minute goal. And that still shows to me that a side who aren't convincing, you know, beating Barnsley narrowly in a game where Barnsley were reportedly quite good, it's not massively impressive to me, if I'm absolutely honest with you. You know, when you look at Barnsley's away form, other than that win at Brighton, it's utterly dreadful, isn't it? I think they picked up one of the 4 points all season on the road. So you can't read too much into that for me. I still think Leicester win this game. And you're absolutely right. With Leicester games this season, how is it possible to play the draw? I mean, I can't play the draw in this game. And, you know, Murray Benal, our colleague, says draws happen, because very rarely will a punter stick a, you know, certainly more rarely, than he will a win or a loss for a side. But, you know, I think they've drawn, what, two games this season. And you just can't play that draw. Yes, they're going through a nasty run of form. Three losses, you know, Forest, Wednesday and Brighton. Two of those were away from home. And, you know, one of those was against a good side in Forest as well. Home-wise, they're very good. Apart from that loss against Forest, they've been fantastic all season. I see no reason for that to change. Now, the headline offer here is Nugent anytime and Leicester to win at threes. But I personally think that Jamie Vardy is the play here. He's been the man in goal-scoring form of late. It's a little narrower than 3-1 as well. It's 12-5. So you could say, well, Pete, you might as well take the 3-1 on their top goal scorer and his side to win in Nugent. And I get that. But for me, I quite like the Vardy anytime at 12-5 and Leicester to win as well. I mean, I know the Nugent scored twice against Barnsley, but since then it's been the Vardy show, hasn't it? Scored against Huddersfield, scored against Bournemouth, scored twice against Millwall. The guy's been in fantastic form, especially at home. So for me, you've got to be looking at, I think, Vardy any time as well. I think, ultimately speaking, despite the fact that Burnley are a good side, I think Leicester will pip them. And I was looking for a moment at the race to two for Leicester. I was looking at it because I felt that, again, with the way they've been scoring goals, 13 to 10 could be a blessing. I mean, you look at their home form, twice against Barnsley, against Huddersfield, against Bournemouth, three times against Millwall. You look at Burnley away from home fairly recently. They've conceded 2 on a couple of occasions, haven't they? Millwall, Huddersfield. But I don't think there's any need to get involved in that. I think they win the game, but I think the Vardy anytime goal scorer win cast is the way to play it.
Very good. There's one that I'm toying with as a bet of the week, which is in this Leicester game, and that's the both teams to score and a Leicester win. 16-5 the price for it. The reason being is that it rates highly on the both teams to score fixture list. This one, when you look at the stats, Leicester versus Burnley, and also when you look at the streaks of scoring. I think Burnley have scored in 7 successive away games. Obviously, they don't lose many away from home because they're one of the top sides. But Leicester score so many goals at home. That Forest game is the only game this season at home where they've failed to score since that 0-0 draw with Leeds United. So and they score plenty. So yeah, I'm toying with that, but it's a bit of a big price. We'll see when we get to the end of the podcast. Let's have a look.
Lee, they've won 7 times at home this season, and it's landed, I think, 5 times that.
Yeah,
so
yeah. And Burnley just gone off the boil away from home a touch, haven't they? So we'll see when we get to the end if I'm brave enough. Let's have a look at Barnsley versus Yeovil next up. Barnsley are priced up at 23-20. It's 12-5 the draw, and Yeovil are priced up at 23-10. The league positionings don't look pretty. Barnsley rock bottom with 14 points. Yeovil 2 points better off in 22nd place. So both these teams in the relegation zone. Barnsley's home form shows 1 defeat in the last 5 games. They lost 3-0 to Birmingham City last time they played at home. 3 draws in that little run. They drew with Reading, Sheffield Wednesday, and Doncaster Rovers, and they beat Middlesbrough. As for Yeovil, their away form shows a win at Watford last time they travelled away. They'd had 3 successive defeats before that and hadn't won since the 3rd of August away from home when they went to Millwall, and maybe made people think at the time, Pete, that maybe this is going to be like a surprise team of the year. That hasn't really worked out that way, has it?
Well, it hasn't, no, but you look at their recent form, Lee, and there's a lot of teams who would bite your hand off to have the kind of form that Yeovil have been in. I mean, you look at, for example, the last 8 games, they've only lost 3 times, and 3 times in 8's not horrible for a side like Yeovil. They're only 2 points out of getting out of the relegation zone. Their home form has been excellent, 2 wins, 2 draws, and a loss in the last 5. Away from home, they have lost 3 of the last 5, including shipping 4 against Middlesbrough, 2 against Leeds and 2 against Doncaster. But they're still drawn at Bolton. They've just come off the back of a 3-0 win away at Watford. I mean, all in all, it's a fantastic run of form, in speaking in relation to what Yeovil are trying to do this season, which is what, just stay in the league, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that's really how it's got to be looked at for me. And first of all, Barnsley, they don't have a manager. They're going to keep that search for a manager happening in private now, it's been said. They
Good
don't
idea.
Know whether or not... And basically, they just decide, well, I are drawing. Neil Redfern's doing an okay job there. I mean, you could look, for example, at Burnley and say it was a narrow loss, and it wasn't too bad a loss. But I can't be with Barnsley here. I just can't do it. I sit there... And I look at the price, and I look at how the side's been setting up. I look at how they've been drawing games. And can I play them at 23-20? Absolutely not. Yeovil are the side improving. You've got one side on the down, and you've got one side who are just a tiny bit on the upward gradient. And it is a tiny bit on the upward gradient, but it's an upward gradient nevertheless. Barnsley haven't scored, in a couple of games as well. They didn't score against them. Barnsley did score, I should say, against... Brian in that win. Other than that, didn't score against Birmingham, Millwall, Doncaster. So they're not scoring goals. They scored in one of the last 5 games. You've got to be looking at Yeovil here, who are scoring away from home, scored against Bolton and Drew, scored against Borough and got beaten, fair enough, scored against Doncaster and got beaten, fair enough, and hit 3 against Watford. But the point is, they're scoring goals. And Barnsley on the whole aren't. So I've been with Yeovil quite a few times this season. It's worked out for me nicely on some occasions, and it's not worked out for me nicely on others. But today is a time that hopefully it will. Yeovil Drono bet 6-4. They'll just quite frankly outscore Barnsley.
Let's have a look at Blackpool against QPR. 11-4 the price for Blackpool in this one. The draw is 9-4 and QPR are 21-20. QPR kind of quietly going about the business really in second position. Blackpool just outside the playoffs with 31 points, but only because of goal difference. They're on the same points as Nottingham Forest and Reading and only three away from Derby County. QPR's away form is the least impressive so far of their form, but they went through a really nice spell of three wins from four, and since then they haven't won. That's going back to mid-October. Drew at Millwall, drew at Wigan, drew at Reading and lost at Burnley and Doncaster Rovers. But who cares really when you're second in the table? It doesn't really matter. Blackpool, fairly inconsistent, but they've picked up a lot at home, haven't they, Pete? The problem with Blackpool is that Red Mist is like the kind of standard for them. I mean, if it's not the manager being sent off, it's players being sent off. I mean, it's getting ludicrous, isn't it, really? That game against Derby County, I mean, kind of disintegrated, didn't they? Where once they got, you know, the first half winning 1-0 under the cosh, then Bishop and Martinez both get sent off within like what 15 minutes of each other, and they've got more problems now. Madness.
It's an utterly frightening lack of discipline, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's an utterly frightening lack. If I mean any team that has five players sent off in two games, I mean, you need to there's something going up. There's something going wrong, isn't there? Five players in two games, Lee.
Not a great example either, is it? When your manager's obviously got a bit of reputation and he gets, you know, sent away from the stands for a prolonged period.
Well, I mean, to a certain extent, I mean, if the manager's shouting at you, say, "I can't believe you've been sent off, you'll be missing for the next game," you kind of go, "Where have you been at the stadium for the last couple?"
Yeah.
You know, I can see where the argument comes from. QPR are a huge price here. First of all, do we think that Blackpool are going to end with ten men? Probably not this time. It'd be amazing if it's three times in a row. But if this level of ill discipline is in that side at the moment, then you can't be with them, can you? You absolutely cannot be with the side who've had five players sent off in two games. Yes, they'll get Broadfoot and McKenzie back should they wish to use him. There'll still be no Fuller. They, of course, were sent off against Yeovil. Bishop and Martinez are both now out as well. They've just conceded five. And admittedly, yes, it's going to be back home where they haven't lost a huge amount this season. I think it's just a one home loss all season, isn't it? And that was fairly recently against Ipswich. QPR's away form, again, you look at them and you say, well, there's only two losses away from home, a poor one against Doncaster Rovers and that loss against a good Burnley side in a game where, you know, it was quite tight until about, what, the 60th minute or so. So for me, it's a question here of going with Blackpool's ill discipline, or you're going against the fact that QPR haven't won away in five. Despite the fact that Blackpool have lost once at home all season, Lee, I can't do it. I can't be with them. It would be sod's law, wouldn't it, for the Championship if they have that kind of record and then they go and they hit three past QPR or something. That's kind of the Championship and that's what we're dealing with here. But QPR 21-20, if they were, it sounds silly when they're 21-20, but if they were odds on, I'd probably ignore this. But at a slight odds against, I can play it. At the moment, with the amount of players being sent off, I think it's a fair assumption to make that there is something a little off behind the scenes. For five players in two games, that can't be a freak. Two players in two games can be a freak. Five can't be. And for me, they're going to get even more frustrated, because if they're getting frustrated with shipping five against Derby, if they're getting frustrated losing 1-0 to Yeovil, QPR are the league's most frustrating side to play against. Because you look at the midfield, you've got Henry, you've got O'Neill, you've got Barton, you've got nothing but solidity, really. It's just, bum, bum, we are QPR, let's grind this win out.
Oh, and mate, that's, they should do that. You know, like in Kabaddi, where they have to shout, Kabaddi, 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 Kabaddi. Does anyone, you remember Kabaddi? Please say you remember Kabaddi.
No.
You don't remember Kabaddi?
No,
Kabaddi's like an Indian game where it's like on a sand pit type thing where there's a net and you have to keep the ball moving. And it's like a kind of volleyball type thing, but you have to continually. No, is it? Does it involve a ball? I can't remember the rules, but you have to continually.
Yeah, you know what it is.
Yeah, it was a long time. It was on Channel 4 back in like maybe the early 90s, and you have to continue to say Kabaddi all the time. If you don't, you're not allowed to stop saying Kabaddi. So QPR should have to sing that song that you just sang throughout the 90 minutes.
But the point is that they're just unbelievably solid.
He's not having that, is he?
So solid. And if you're getting frustrated playing against Derby and you're getting frustrated playing against Yeovil, you're going to get really frustrated
playing against QPR.
So 21-20 is I think, a great bet on the outrights.
It is. It looks great. It's a very, very reasoned argument. And, you know, as you say about discipline, you know, that discipline runs through the team. It's not just discipline in terms of getting yourself sent off. You need discipline throughout football to maintain strong defensive lines and get back when you needed to. So it's an excellent point. Charlton versus Derby is the next one. 21-10 Charlton, 5-2 the draw. And Derby County are 6-5. And we've obviously already talked about them. But you've got to give Derby's players some credit. They're playing fantastically well at the moment, and 1-0 down at half time, and absolutely flew out of the blocks against Blackpool and smashed them to bits in the end. Thanks in large part to Chris Martin's goals of late. He's playing very well and scoring plenty of goals as well. Obviously a hat trick in that game with two penalties, and that takes his tally for the season to 10 with 5 in the last 3. And 6 in the last 5 games that he's scored in. Their away form, Pete, it's pretty much just as good. They have lost games, but you look at the games they've won this season, Derby County on the road. What about Charlton? Where do you think Charlton are? They're hovering above the drop zone. They beat Doncaster Rovers, and that's their only win since the end of August at home, when they beat Leicester, by the way. Have they got the ability to beat Derby? If they can beat Leicester, can they beat Derby?
Yeah, but everyone in this league can beat everyone, really. It's just that cliche and horrible, but it's true because it's just such an absolutely crazy league. There's not a single result in this league you would look at and go, I can't believe in a billion years that happened, because in the back of your mind, there's a little sign going, championship, championship, championship. But I, as a punter, I'm here to use logic. I'm here to use... it's the whole fun of it for me, the logic of things. It's the whole enjoyment of the whole thing. And 6-5 Derby is illogical. You know, I don't want to get all Spock on the situation and Star Trek-y, but...
Please don't.
It's illogical, Captain. I mean...
Don't call me Captain anymore.
Well, certainly not publicly. No. 6-5 Derby is ridiculous. I mean, you're looking at Charlton, who's... Yeah, they've drawn a couple of games at home. They've lost against Middlesbrough and Millwall. They've lost against Leeds. Ipswich, they shipped 4 against Leeds. And if you're shipping 4 against Leeds, you've got to worry about playing Derby at the moment. I was publicly very critical of when Steve McLaren came in, when Nigel Clough was sad, felt sacking Nigel Clough was harsh. And it probably was harsh, but it's been proved to be right. At the moment, with the way that Derby are going, they've absolutely exploded. They are frightening. They are frightening right now to play against a Derby. And it's only his old club that he was working at up until very recently, QPR, who've beaten Steve McLaren as Derby manager in the league. And, I mean, they hit 5 past Blackpool, 2 past Borough, 3 past Wigan, 3 past Sheffield Wednesday. 2 bets of incredible goodness here, including the outright 6-5. Derby and both teams to score at 100-30 landed in their last 3 back-to-back wins, landed away from home in 2 of their last 3 wins as well. Oh, by the way, away from home, the teams who've beaten Derby this season, good ones, Forest and QPR. Do I think Charlton are as good as Forest or as good as QPR? No, I don't. Derby and both teams to score 100-30. And if you just want a little bit more safety, knowing the way that they're scoring goals at the moment, Derby and over 2.5 match goals at 23-10. That gives you, of course, 3-4-0 in case Charlton don't register. Yeah. I can't find an argument.
No, man, I tend to agree. Huddersfield versus Reading next. Huddersfield Town are priced up at 6-4. It's 12-5 for the draw, and Reading are priced up at 17-10. Reading in the top 6. Huddersfield 5 points back in 11th position, but not doing too badly, thank you very much. The home form has been a bit hit and miss. They win one, they lose one. They win one, they lose one. Lost to Watford, beat Leeds. Lost to Birmingham, beat Burnley. Go figure that one out. One of those teams, as Pete says, who almost epitomise the championship, can beat anyone on their day, and do, but also can throw one in at times. The away form for Reading at the moment isn't too clever. Did win at Nottingham Forest, but that was their first win away from home since the 21st of September, when they beat Derby County. This is a real toughie to predict, Pete. The one thing that you probably can predict is that there will be goals, and James Vaughan might score one.
Yeah, and you've pit me to the post, Ellie, because this was a game that I've identified simply as a goal-filled game.
Right, yeah.
You're absolutely right on the outrights. I can't separate the two particularly. I know that Reading are sixth, and they've gone about their work pretty quietly. They've got good news this week with Royston Drenthe now suggesting that he's back to full fitness and is available for being picked after some injury concerns all season. And you look and you say, well, I mean, look at Reading. I mean, like, you know, one loss in five, and that was against Bournemouth. Before that, the only other loss was against Sheffield Wednesday. So against the poorer sides, they've maybe not stepped up the way they would have liked to this season. Away from home, had a great win over Forest, but again, have only won, what, three times away all season. It is just goals, this game. That's how I've approached this game. And over 3.5 is 12-5. It is backable. But it's just been nibbled in a little bit from when I prepped this last night. But over 2.5 is now 19-20. It was even money, which suggests the early money punters have maybe got a little bit of a nibble down onto this league. 19-20 now. You look at Huddersfield at home, they've had a 6-goal game. They had 3 against Charlton, 3 against Watford, 5 against Leeds, 4 against Birmingham, 3 against Burnley. So that, of course, was a rare napland for me. And that was an over 2.5, wasn't it? For Reading away from home, they score goals. And they've scored in all but 2 away games this season. So you can almost throw 1 goal into there for them straight away. They had 5 goals in the Forest game, 7 goals in the Wednesday game, 3 goals in the Burnley game. In a lot of other leagues, if this was a Premier League game, this over 2.5 be priced at 8-13. 19-20 is definitely good enough for over goals.
Yeah, very good. Let's have a look at Nottingham Forest versus Ipswich next. We've got 19-20 for Forest, 23-10 the draw, and Ipswich are priced up at 3-1. Looking at the positions of in the table for these two, Forest are in the top six with 31 points. Ipswich are only 2 points back on 29. They've been enjoying a really good rich vein of form of late. In the last 5 games, they've won 4 of them and lost to Leicester at home when Nugent got those 2 goals. But a couple of good home results, beat Blackburn, beat Huddersfield Town. Nottingham Forest, overall, only 2 wins since the 5th of October, with a few draws scattered about. The wins have come away from home, Pete. At home, they haven't won since late September when they beat Derby County. Drawn with Bournemouth, lost to Blackpool, drawn with Burnley, lost to Reading. Are Forest backable at odds on here?
No. Absolutely not. And it's why I've chosen Ipswich here, Lee. Ipswich have lost only 3 of the last 15 games. That's impressive. And it's a run of form that I've got to say it had sort of slipped me by. They're doing it very quietly, Ipswich, aren't they? They're just getting on with it, winning games. They've won their last 2 away games, beating both Blackpool and Charlton, albeit a narrow 1-0 win over a poor Charlton side. And when you look at it, with Forest's lack of wins at home, you know, I think it's just 3 wins at home all season, and they were the 3 first home games of the season. And they were against Huddersfield, who at the time didn't quite look right, against Barnsley, who we know are poor, and against Bolton, who started the season with a very difficult run of games and, of course, struggled at the beginning of the season. And I think that day as well, Bolton were down to 10. So Forest's wins have come against poor sides. OK, Derby County thrown in there as well. But they've come against, on the whole, poor sides. And 10-man sides as well, with Derby also down to 10 with that Keogh sending off. So you put it together and Ipswich are good value. Yes, their away form started poorly, didn't it? 3 losses from 5. But Ipswich now, I mean, they look very good. The both teams to score would be the first point of call here, wouldn't it? It would be the first point of call, 7-10. This is one for your BTTS Ackers if you want it. Landed in 4 of the last 5 Ipswich games away from home. Landed in a couple, 3 of the last 5 of Forest's home games. And generally looking pretty goal-filled this game. It's another one where I'd play over 2.5, 10-11 this time. Looks great. Why are Ipswich 3-1? It's too big. It's far too big for a side who in the last 5 have barely lost, last 7 have barely lost away from home, just the one in there. Against a side who can't quite get themselves set and quite get themselves sorted at home. Away from home, as you rightly said, Lee, lots of wins, playing fine. But you can't be backing them here. You absolutely can't be backing them. Draw no bet Ipswich is 13-8. That, for me, is fantastic.
Yeah, it does look nice, doesn't it? Let's finish off the Championship previews with Wigan versus Bolton. The prices, first of all, Wigan are 23-20. The draw is 23-10. And Bolton are priced up at 12-5. Wigan, 14th with 22 points. Bolton, 15th with 22 points. Just a couple of goals separating them on the goal difference. So Wigan have played one game fewer than Bolton, though. And they've really fallen off the edge of a cliff recently, Wigan. The form since the 10th of November when they beat Yeovil away from home has been poor. They lost to Brighton, lost to Zulte Waregem, lost to Derby, lost to Leeds and lost to Millwall. They're playing, as we record this, at Maribor tonight to try and book their place in the next stage of the Europa League. But their fate is really in Zulte Waregem's hand. But all said and done, Pete, they've still got to go away to Maribor and come back and play at home against Bolton on Sunday, which isn't easy. 3 o'clock kickoff, so you know, fingers crossed they can get back in time and have at least one rest day in between it. The form after the Europa League, we've kind of looked at this all season long, haven't we? And there wasn't much to be derived from it. They'd come back and beaten Ipswich 2-0. They came back from beating Maribor and beat Blackburn 2-1. Came back from a draw against Reuben and drew away at Charlton, so they hadn't been doing too badly until recently, when it seems to have maybe caught up with them a little bit. Where do you see them, and where do you see Bolton in this head to head?
Maribor aren't the chumps that many people make out, but the fact of the matter is that Slovenia is going to be tricky. It's not going to be the warmest in the world going to the People's Garden on Thursday night. They're then, of course, going to come back and play on Sunday against Bolton at home in what is going to be a very tough, very tightly contested game. Of course, they brought in a new manager as well, haven't they? Uwe Rosler, who, you know, in one of his first games will be in charge of a Europa League tie in his first few weeks. That's amazing, isn't it, to think you go into a job and your first job is to try and desperately get your team through the Europa League group stages. Bolton lost to Borough. It was an awful game in their last away game. They missed a penalty very late on. Jermaine Beckford took what has been widely considered one of the worst penalties seen for quite some time and missed that, and Borough won 1-0, but it was a dreadful game. They're going through a great run of form. Generally, Bolton, they've dragged themselves out from the bottom of the league. They've won 3 of the last 5 games, and they look, quite frankly, very good. Since, of course, that loss to Borough and the midweek loss to Huddersfield, they've smashed Doncaster Rovers for 3. And I've got to say, Wigan are missing a few players for tonight's game. For example, Maloney's not fit. There'll be no Keane tonight either. In some ways, you know, with one or two like Keane ineligible, that's going to help on Saturday in terms of freshness. He's left Grant Holt at home as well as Uwe Rosler. So if Grant Holt gets a game, he'll be nice and fresh as well. I think the fact of the matter is that Bolton are still too big price-wise in this match. Again, it is a very tough and tightly contested derby. A draw would not be a surprise. But 12-5 again is too big, and I can get, thanks to the amount of markets offered, I can get the draw if I need it, along with Bolton. The plus of gold is 8-11. The 13-8 Bolton draw no bet, they're the ways to play this game. They are the ways to play this game, because quite frankly, you can't be with Wigan. You can't. That run of form is too bad on top of what they've had to do in the week. To get involved in them is just too difficult, Lee.
Fair enough. Let's get a best bet from League One and League Two from Pete after those very thorough Championship previews. Where are you heading in the third tier of English football, Pete?
Well, the first is going over to Vale Park in Stoke and looking at Port Vale to beat Stevenage. Stevenage had a tough game, of course. No extra time, I should say. It's only 90 minutes in the JPT, but they drew 1-1 with Swindon. Away at Swindon in the week and, you know, lost on penalties. Think that might leave them a little bit drained. And while Port Vale have won just 2 of the last 5 games at home, they are in very, very good form, generally with 3 wins from 5. 10-11 is absolutely good enough for me.
And in League 2?
Yeah, League 2 is a very... I mean, we know how difficult a League 2 is, don't we? I mean, 14 points between 1st and 19th. I mean, that is absolute madness, isn't it? But one team I want to be backing against as strongly as possible at the moment is Mansfield Town, who are dropping like a stone. 5 back-to-back losses, some real problems there for them. And when you look at Wimbledon, yes, their form generally has been very poor, but Mansfield haven't scored in 4 of the last 5 away games. And even in the game where they scored 4 goals, and they scored 4 goals, they lost the match 5-4 away from home. They are devoid of anything at the moment, Mansfield, to be honest. The last away win was that dramatic win over Chesterfield, and quite frankly put, if you're offering me AFC Wimbledon in this game, the price that's being offered 11-10, I will snap your hand off.
Let's look at the both teams to score double now. It didn't land last week, unfortunately. The Wednesday game scuppered it. I'm going to go for Wickham versus Scunthorpe in League 2, first of all. Wickham are 15th, Scunthorpe are 4th. And I quite like that, like the fact that there's a gap between them in the league, because Wickham score a lot of goals. Wickham have both teams to score an awful lot of the time at home. 78% of their home games have featured both teams to score. As for Scunny away from home, 60% of their away games in League 2 have featured both teams scoring. So I like it. It's a combined kind of percentage of 69% probability on this game. 4-5. Fair price. And Sheffield United versus Swindon. Sheffield United, 78% of their home games have featured both teams scoring. Swindon away from home, 56% of their away games have featured both teams scoring. Blades obviously in a bit of bother down in 20th and Swindon 7th. I quite like it. I'm happy to go with it when there's a lower team in the at home against a higher team or away. I think it plays into the better team's hands, but it doesn't mean that the lower place team can't score a goal. So I'm going to go for that one. That's a 4-5 for Sheffield United versus Swindon, and it's 4-5 for Wickham versus Scunthorpe United as well. So the combined price for the double in that game brings out both teams to score double price of 2.24-1 or around 11-5 if you prefer. No Naps landing last week, Pete. Unfortunately for both of us, your Leeds one just missed out. My Wednesday over 2.5 goals one missed out by an absolute mile. Where are you going this week?
Well, yeah, I mean, before we get to League One and Two, it's intriguing, this league. I think I'm going to have to look at QPR. Blackpool's discipline has been absolutely abhorrent of late. 5 sending offs in 2 games. That, to me, suggests, even though I don't think any players will get sent off in this match, it suggests a real lack of discipline and possibly issues behind the scenes. You throw in the fact that QPR are one of the most frustrating sides to play against this season. They're playing a side who just got 5 players sent off in 2 games. And despite poor recent away form, their odds against 21-20 will do me nicely.
Yeah, very nice. I'm gonna. I mentioned earlier on that I was tempted by Leicester and both teams to score. I've got much more sensible bets than that, if you like. Over 2.5s in the Bradford, Swindon and Coventry Crewe games look good, but I'm going to stick my neck out. I'm going to go for a 19-5. Leicester to win and both teams to score is my nap. If it comes in, I'll be happy. If it doesn't, I think I've had a go at it. Just to finish off with Pete, I must correct myself on Kabaddi. When it used to be on TV in whenever it was, the late 80s, early 90s, they had to say Kabaddi, Kabaddi. And it doesn't involve a ball either. It's a bit like British Bulldogs, where you have 2 separate teams and you have to go over to the other side and tag as many people as possible. Now, the rule used to be that you had to do that whilst holding your breath and saying Kabaddi, 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 Kabaddi. They've scrapped that bit. They've scrapped the fun bit, the Kabaddi, Kabaddi, Kabaddi bit. And it's just now like a game of British Bulldogs, basically. So I just thought I'd correct myself, so I didn't get lots
it's
of
all about the key issues this podcast, isn't it?
Exactly. Well, I didn't want big Kabaddi fans hammering me on Twitter.
Honestly,
yeah.
The amount of tweets I get from Kabaddi fans,
all
sick of it.
Yeah. Next week we'll be back with more Kabaddi podcast chat. That'll be good, a podcast where you had to say Kabaddi all the way through. Kabaddi, 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 Kabaddi. Pete, enjoy the weekend. I've got everything crossed for your bets this weekend.
I mean, last weekend, 2-0 down, 3-2 up, I thought we'd done it. I thought it was done, Lee.
Yeah.
And stolen from me.
Don't worry.
And that's not the first time. I'm going to go across the... you've got a pad there. I'm going to take all my naps off you next time we meet, and I'm going to look through how badly they didn't land.
I bet
you there's at least 9 in there that I've been screwed in the last 5 minutes on.
Hashtag hard luck stories.
Does it land money in your account?
That's what it is, being a punter. It's part of the game, isn't it? Part of the game. Pete, have a great weekend. Pete, you'll be able to hear him on In Play Radio over the weekend, talking about the various leagues around Europe and domestic football as well, of course. We'll be back next Thursday, so in the meantime, if you're having a bet on the Championship, League One or League Two, have a lot of luck on your side.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.